Well, we always covet your prayers. It's God's Word. And we're interested this afternoon to look into some more of God's Word. You know, some messages are seem to me to be all more monarch-stirring messages, and some messages are maybe more teaching, some messages are more pastoral. I want to look at one of a prayer, Lord's Prayer. Maybe not the one you're thinking. Jesus did teach his people, they asked how to pray, and we know what we call that generally, the Lord's Prayer. But he had another one that he prayed over here in John 17. I want to look at that one. There's a lot here. You know, prayer is something that we typically, it's very personal to us. A lot of times, I've had some prayers I wouldn't want you to hear. Off in my corner alone. Suppose you've had those too. They're very vulnerable prayers. Yes. Places that you share things that you hardly could tell anyone else. But you tell it to our Lord because He loves us. Isn't that wonderful we have somebody that close? Someone that sticks closer than a brother. And He loves us and He knows. And I wonder how many times that He's longing and waiting for us to really, truly open up to Him. Because it's in those moments that He can talk back with us and begin to really deal with our need. You know, most of the time, nothing can really be done about a need unless it's found and exposed. I have worked on equipment before in a mechanic type work. And we went inside a tractor before a transmission wasn't working, and we get inside there, and I don't like it when all the parts look good, because you can't fix it unless you find the source of the problem. There's really nothing you can do. Sometimes prayer is like that. Sometimes that's an exposing time. It's a time of searching. I put myself vulnerably before the Lord and allow Him to shine His light of understanding down in my heart and bring me to a place that the problem gets pinpointed. And in so doing, He loves us enough to show us that we might see hope and how to get out of it, how to have it fixed. He can show us a route, the road to take, or the scriptures that would especially address where we are. It takes honesty. It takes a willingness to seek His face thoroughly without any reserve. I would submit to you that if we come and ask the Lord to fix our problem and then I tell Him how it needs to be fixed, we're likely not going to be very successful, because we've got to be willing to say, Lord, whatever it takes, and give it all to Him. Well, this prayer over in St. John, the 17th chapter, is perhaps, it's revealing to me about the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ, the things that He cared about, the things that says something to me. There's much that we can glean out of His prayer. He was talking to His Lord, to His Father. That's who He was talking to. 17th chapter of John. Start reading. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. You know where He was. You remember, don't you, at this point? This was just prior to Him going to the cross. This was just prior to Him suffering. And He knew in His mind, He already knew what was ahead of Him. It wasn't a surprise to Him, but it was one He embraced. It was spoken of Him by those who wrote about it. It said, who for the joy that was set before Him. He embraced a suffering, a willingness to go to the cross to be that Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. He did it. But there was a human side of him. There was. He's a very unique. The Word was made flesh and dwelled among us. And as he dwelt here, he struggled in all points, was tempted like you and I are, yet without sin. He knows well what we go through. And he loves us. And here he was in this state. He was found in fashion as a man. And here he was getting ready to face the cross because he cared for you and I. And he began to reveal the real burden. I find it interesting that in this writing, I think if I knew I was facing the cross, I would likely have been saying, Lord, get me out of this. I don't want to have to go through it. I know he had some of those over in the garden where he prayed. But here, his focus was on the people he was leaving behind. And that's you and me still. We fit in here. I know specifically in part of this, he was talking about his disciples. But it expanded in his prayer, not only those, but also those who believe on his, on their testimony, believe on his name through their testimony. He expanded it to you and I today. So let's read here. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son. Oh, I think if I would have been saying here today, Lord, glorify us. In my mind, I think I would be saying, Lord, excite us, perhaps. Make this a wonderful, joyful time that we... And glorify... Glorification he was talking about here was going to the cross and meeting the devil. Oh, he was praying, Lord, let's... Oh, I don't want to... He was saying, let's beat the devil. Let's face him. Glorify your name. Glorify. Because the devil has had power too long. I don't want to put more into him and what, but I believe that was part of what he was saying here. Glorify Lord. I do think he had found in fashion as a man, but I think there was part of him was so ready to go back. But not just to escape, but to accomplish. Because in his death, he accomplished much. He didn't lose on the cross. He accomplished what he went to do. Lord, glorify. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son also might glorify thee. Lord, let the work begin. Knowing what the work was, he embraced it. Thank the Lord. Who? Why? Oh, I thank for the joy that was set before him. And I think much of the joy that was set before him was people like me and you in broken, sinful states. That he came to us and breathed hope, shined his light of truth in our hearts, and showed us a way out. Not only showed us, but when we yield our heart to him, he saved us by his mighty hand. Oh, when the blood came down from Calvary, it was of great authority and great power. And it hasn't lost any of that yet today. He still is able to take a twisted life and turn it around. He's still able to take broken people that seems like there's no hope ahead of them. He's able to take people just like that and say, I can make a new creature out of you. He can take... Name it. He can take drug addicts, alcoholics. He can take people who are bound by pornography. All this. Whatever we recognize as sin. Whatever twisting that the devil... That's part of what wickedness is. You know what wicker is? That's a twisting. Sin is a twisting thing. Knocks things up and makes it... And the Lord can take and make the cripple lame. He can make those legs straight. Untwist it. He can set us on a path that is right, full of hope, because his blood has power. Because he has authority. He went and glorified his Father. And in so doing, he unlocked the dungeon of so many. And it said, you can go free. You remember that? Remember when he took Isaiah and began to read it? And he said, today, this is fulfilled in your ears. That blood has never lost its power. It still is hopeful and true to every person who listens and is willing to receive it today. It's active and powerful. It changes lives. That's the God we serve. Amen. Glorify, Lord. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, the Lord gave Jesus power over all flesh. Look, that means everything that you and I face, he had power over. Every temptation we have, he had power over. Everything that we sometimes we look and say, oh, I don't know if I can make it. The giants over in the other land, he has power over that. He's got authority over it. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal, life to many, to as many as thou hast given him. He has the authority to give life. What was the effect of sin? What was it? Death, was it not? I know with all the corruption comes along with it. But namely, it was embodied in the fact that we died. Our eyes were opened. We began to receive guilt and shame and death that came along with that. All this happened back then. And Jesus came to give life. The devil, who may have smirked when he won the first round, he lost the second one. And Jesus confidently can look at you and I and say, the Lord has given me authority over all flesh. All flesh. And that means also he's able to take us, his sons, us, his brethren, us, his redeemed. He's able to take you and I and give us the same type of authority that he won on Calvary. He has that ability to bring us to the place of victory in our lives, of authority over the flesh. Thank God for that today. Have great. This was the prayer of Jesus. Notice what his desire was, that this be accomplished. His desire that it would be accomplished in mankind. Eternal life. Should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee. Oh, this knowing, this revealing of who he really is, this perception of the grandeur of his kingdom, this perception of, oh, my mind starts running. I look back in Daniel, and remember the story about the little stone that God cut out. Humans didn't create that one. This is not God. This is not man's kingdom. This is God's kingdom. And as that little stone began to have its effect and grow, it expanded and crushed all other authorities. And yes, there was a kingdoms and authorities back then when Jesus came that was greatly affected and crushed with the effects of the early morning church. But I want to tell you today, on a spiritual side, there are places that the devil claims way too much of authority, that when God, that little stone, is at work in our lives, there is a rolling, there is a crushing, the chaff begins to fly because of the expansion of that little stone in our heart. That moving, great authority of God himself that's embodied within us. And this is life eternal, that thou might know thee, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He knew that he had accomplished to that point all that would be accomplished. He knew also that right ahead of him was a culmination of this work that he had to do. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. With the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. All these, you know who he's talking about here? I think specifically, he was especially talking about the disciples that followed him. I've manifested myself. I've let them see you through the things that I've shared with them. I've manifested to them. And look, we're going to come in here later on here too. But it's not only them, it's all of us. I have manifested my name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word.
Yes, thank the Lord.
Yes, thank the Lord, Brother Tony. They've kept thy word.
Amen.
We can do that, folks. There is grace that the Lord has given us that we might keep his word. And I want to tell you this afternoon, the word of God is all powerful. Jesus was the Word, was he not?
Yes.
What he reflected, the conduit, the fact, what he spoke, he was the very element that in the very beginning of time that said, let there be. That's what God used. And it was effective, it was powerful. And all this happened. There's a reason why God was able to pick up a handful of dust and breathe life into it. And when he could say, let there be light, or let there be light, anything he spoke, it happened because he is God.
Yes.
And he is our God.
Praise the Lord.
Thank the Lord for that this afternoon. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. Jesus was talking to his Father and said, these that you have let me have, they were yours. And you've opened their eyes, and we've been able to, as I've walked with them, their eyes have been, their understanding has dawned brighter as they went. Excuse me. There was a great effect that the Lord and all his truth began to happen on in their lives. You remember when Jesus asked them, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art this Christ. But there were times they couldn't have said that before.
Right.
Well, one time they made a declaration of belief, and he said, do you now believe? In their humanity, they were just like you and I. The Lord wants to build our faith.
Yes.
He wants to give us foundations. And this happens by relationship. By following him, by following on to know him, there is a deeper level of knowing as we follow him. We're going to know him better as we live and interact with him. This is the will of God for us to do so. I have manifested. You see, his manifestation isn't like with a snap of a finger, but sometimes it's line upon line. Here a little, there. It is the working of God as he reveals and pulls back the curtain. And as we see more, our very spirit is great, as excited. Our very spirit is enlivened because my vision is sharper. I see him for who he is. And we can, at some point, just like Peter, in the face of all the world, as he's, you gave him to me out of the world. Did you know the world didn't receive it? They scoffed. But you gave him out. They received and began to grow in that understanding and knowledge. And Peter came to the place that he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And another time they were challenged because everybody else had fled. And went to the other. And he looked at his disciples and said, will you also go away? Something held them. They couldn't go away because they had seen something that was real.
Amen.
And there's nothing as real as what they had seen. You couldn't take away. Remember the man that Jesus healed? His blind eyes. You remember that? And they came to him and they tried to tell him. It wasn't Jesus that did that. It was the Lord. Well, it was both of them working. The Word and the Father was working together and doing that. And they were trying to discount that. And they got him confused. They tried to twist him in his mind. And finally it came down to this. I was blind and now I see. I've got that one. You can't take that from me. That's what I have. You can give a lot of other confusing things in my mind, but I know this. God help us to know him well enough that we have a strong foundation that we stand on. It's more than theory. It's something. I met him in my closet of prayer. I know on whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know him. That's the foundation that the Lord wants us to build on. And his word is very much part of that. He wants us to experience his active word. It's not just a passive word. It's not something that's a theory out there, but it's something that God wants us to believe and hang on to and allow it to do its work in our life. It's not impersonal. It's real. It comes down personally in our lives if we let it. Sorry for my coughing. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had. I'm back up the fifth verse. I need to go down, I think. I have manifested thy name unto them which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Now they're convinced. Now they understand. Now they've begun to perceive in a greater measure that all this comes from you. And I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. I was that one that began to tell them about you. And as they began to see, you see, Jesus was dealing with Jews. And Jews who had felt like they already had their connection. But they didn't have the connection that God wanted them to have. He wanted them to have a greater and a deeper and a more personal connection. It's more than the works of the law. It's much, we could, works of the law is only good schoolmaster. It could only bring us to a certain place. But it couldn't bring us into communion. There's a place that came through Jesus Christ. Oh, thank the Lord for this communion that has opened up to you and I today, that we can come near. We're brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been able to enter into the place of dwelling with him. Thank God for that. And Jesus said, I shared this word with them. Now they have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I come out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. Lord, help them. Why do you think he was praying for them? I think he knew. I'm confident he knew. Because he told Peter, he said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you. You're in a place. I know what's right ahead of you. I don't think any of these disciples perceived the great conflict they were just about to enter into. They didn't know it. Folks, our perception of tomorrow is very dim. But God sees. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, I prayed for you, that your faith fail not. And when we look at Peter and his condition and what happened during that time, we can say he came awful close to his faith failing. But it wasn't an utter failure.
He wept bitterly. Why? Because he still believed. I believe that when he, even though he denied so strongly, oh, look at the great compassion of our Lord. And when Peter denied so strongly in such horrible terms, and he lied, folks. It wasn't true what he said. But there, in the midst of this, he heard the cock crow. There was a check in his spirit, and he realized, oh, I know that's exactly what he said. I think if I would have been in Peter's shoes, and think of this, go down this with me just a little bit. If you would have seen Jesus always, anything he came up against, he could just speak the word or do, and everything worked out. He could confound anybody who came to him. It wasn't a problem. He was able to confound any issue that he came to. The devils didn't affect him at all. He was God of all the devils. He had great authority over legion. All this he was. And so Peter saw all this. These disciples saw that, and they came almost to expect that this is our king, that he is going to be of great authority. He's going to sit on this physical throne. And they had in their mind that this, and let me be the greatest. Oh, Lord, help us that we don't fall into that trap of trying to be the greatest. Oh, that's such an ugly thing. But Jesus dealt with them in love and tried to anyway, they saw all this happen. And I think likely the conflict that must have been in Peter's mind when Jesus told him that I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die. Peter said, no, you're not going to. No, no, no. And remember, Jesus had to say, get thee behind me. Remember? He's pretty strong with him, wasn't he? Get thee behind me, Satan. You don't know what's... This is not the right spirit. You're not doing... This isn't what the will of God is. And that probably left a lot of confusion in his mind. This doesn't make sense to me. He said, I'll go with you. I'm not going to let you die. I got a sword. And he had it. And he proved he had it. And he was willing to lay... He said, I'll lay down my life for you. And he tried to. And then all that he thought he felt like, this was my king and everything is going to work out fine if he's here. And he saw, even to the point when Jesus said, who are you looking for? And probably, I wonder how Peter would have felt when Jesus rebuked him and he picked up the ear and stuck it back on. All these things going through his mind. And now, he said, who are you looking for? And he said, I'm he. Remember that? And they fell back. And I think Peter said, see, he'll make it. He can get out of this one too. But then he saw him being beaten. He saw all this. He fell into the hands. And all this confusion must have been in his mind. Now he didn't feel so strong because he was all this conflict. This is not supposed to be happening. So he denied. And then he heard the cock crow. And the cock said, you see, he's still God because he predicted this. And his head hung and he walked with great grief. Probably it washed over his very soul the things he had just said. And he began to walk away. But as he walked away, he said, Jesus turned and looked at him. Oh, how merciful our Lord is. Peter wept bitterly, didn't he? I believe he was received again of the Lord. I don't think he was utterly cast down. The Lord was interested in revealing himself in a very personal and real way to his disciples. And he isn't through wanting to do that. He wants to do that with you and I. He wants us to know him. He wants us to experience his character, his power, his love, every part of his majesty. He wants us to experience that.
Thank the Lord.
We can almost in time come to the place that we almost think that the day of healing is past. And then the Lord heals.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah. Without, and again, I'm amazed at how he does it. He does it without letting man take the glory. He just does it. And we all pray together and we get part of the joy of the Lord heard our prayers. But we know the Lord did it.
Amen.
If any one of us tries to stand up and say, I'm going to command authority, be careful that you're not carnal, because you're not going to get that. But all, when we lay our eyes on the one who paid the price, and there is something that he brought down to us, there's authority that's there, and we lean hard on him, he's able yet today. He still does it, folks. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I know it's true. And it wasn't very long ago. Brother Tony, it wasn't very long ago you told us about what the Lord's done for you. And I can tell you some others within the last year. Thank the Lord. He's told us. He shared the words of his Father with us. And God wants us to believe it. This is the prayer of our Lord. He's wanting to share yet with us his very self. I pray for them. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. You see, there is a conflict. We're not going to be like the world. We're not going to blend in well. We should always have an open heart lovingly to the world because God wants to save them. But we should never try to be like them because we're not like them. We're the children of the King. We don't have the same DNA. We don't have the same desire to run to excess like they do. That's not where our heart is. If that's where your heart is, I want to tell you God wants to change your heart. Because God wants to give you something more than the DNA of this world. He wants to give us the DNA that comes down from heaven. I want to say this in a spiritual way. God wants to change your heart. He wants to make us new creatures. Not according to the flesh, but according to heaven. We are now children of the King. Our identity should be, and our testimony should be, that I do not have part of the old devil in me anymore. I don't have to serve him. I don't have to sin more or less every day. Why? Not because of my great ability to defeat the devil, but it's because of his ability and the grace that he's brought down from heaven. I can lay hold on it. I can claim heritage. That's not my old heritage. I'm no longer the old man. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Because why? Because of the love of our Heavenly Father. Because of this lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. God's plan that came about, that you and I can tap into and be part of and feel the great authority and power that God, that heaven itself brought down to you and I. I pray for them. This was his desire when he looks at us, because he knows that we are going to face opposition in life. You're still going to. The world's not going to like you. Not all the time. There's going to be places that it's going to be hard to deal with. You'll have to receive. Sometimes there's going to be strong opposition and ridicule. You're going to think it not strange concerning the fiery dry. You're going to happen. And be ready, because Jesus prayed for you. He prayed for them, I know, but not just them. It's us too. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them. And it's not that Jesus didn't have compassion on the world, because he did. But there's a proper prayer for the world. The proper prayer for the world is, Lord, change your hearts. Awaken souls. Turn them around. But here, he was praying for you and I who was dealing with the world. And asking, Lord, help my dear children. These that are mine, that are yours, that you gave these children have heard your word and received it and said, I want to be that. I want to follow that way. Help them, Lord. Keep them by thy name. I pray for them. Pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are mine, are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine. Thank the Lord. I like being there. I like being owned like that. It feels good to say, welcome to Father's house. I'm there. Oh my. It's coming up to my birthday. Here. I'm talking about spiritual birthday. Oh, so many. It was 1979. The Lord's kept me all this time. Have I had to resist the devil? Yes. Of course, so do you. The Lord's brought me to now. I'm still his child. And I only know him better. And I can tell you now, there's many older that's been in the way a lot longer than I have. And I hear them. I hear Sister Charlotte back home in Guthrie. I hear her tell me how young she was when she got saved and how old she is now. And I think, of all the years, Brother Randall, hadn't it been sweet? And she said, it's only gets better as you go.
Praise the Lord.
I can say that too. Though I haven't been the oldest one that's been walked with the Lord the longest here, but I can tell you I've walked with him long enough to tell you that it does get sweeter.
Yes.
Just like a good marriage, when you have that communion, it just gets sweeter. It's the way it is with the Lord. I recommend him highly. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given anyway. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. There's something about what the Lord has implanted in you and I, and there's something that he sees when it's working that's glorifying to the Lord. Makes him happy. When he sees lives being changed and with the joy that's set before him, he takes people like you and I that sometimes have bad attitudes. And God's not interested in the bad attitude. He's interested in fixing it. And great joy he takes when he sees a child making progress. Look what's happening. Have you noticed my servant Job? Have you noticed what's happened? Oh, he set his face for me. And all my blessings are flowing back. You see what changed? See the man? Look at this. If Job could do it in his day, you and I can do it in our day. Because we have grace that came down through Jesus Christ. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. 11th verse. And now I am no more in the world. But these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. Keep them. And I want to tell you, I agree that his body should be called God's, the Church of God. I agree with that. But his name is more than a distant name on a... His name is meant to be put written on the fleshly tables of our heart. Keep in thy name. God represents his name is altogether lovely. He is holy. He is all powerful. Keep in thy own name. I am no longer owned by some other brand. The brand I wear today is one that comes down from heaven itself. I am his child. Thank God for that today. Keep in thy name. Hold them close to you, Father. Because these, I'm going back to you. I'm not going to be struggling with the things down here anymore, but they are. Oh, put your brand on them, Lord. When they go into the difficult places of life, come down there and put your ownership on. They're my child. Devil, you're going to have to step back here. I'm protecting this one. This one's my child. Keep through thine own name. You see, it's more than just a distant name. There's a personal, true, active name. There's some reality of God at work in our lives. Oh, I don't want to go too far here. I'd like to be able to read all the prayer, but I don't think I will. But suffice it to say that I believe the Lord this afternoon wants us all to realize that he loves us and is personally interested in where we are today. And in this meeting, as Brother Marty shared with us earlier today, there is likely going to be times that the Lord will come by through this series of services He is likely going to come by and expose some place in all of our hearts.
Yes.
None of us, from preacher to the newborns, none of us are not in a place that the Lord's not wanting to help us. If Paul was the one that said, he's had to forget some things that are in the past, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing toward, I say amen right along with Brother Paul. Brother Paul put me in that. I'm running for my life. I haven't arrived yet. There's some more race to run, Brother Randall. There's more race. You're getting close. You're not far. But you still, we can't let up. I'm still running for my life. And I want to be one of those that's found faithful when he comes. I want to be there. I want to, and through the grace of God, we can. I can be one of those that still put my trust. And he's prayed for us. There's more to the prayer, and I don't think I'm going to cover it all. Look at the rest of that. I can't get there. So I'm not going to try. Time, the clock says that. But you read it. May the Lord open it up to your heart. May these be seed thoughts that the Lord are blessing you. But I want us to be encouraged and know that God cares for everyone that's here. And God wants to bring us nearer to him. He wants to reveal himself in a greater measure to us. He wants to bind us a little closer to the altar. Oh, throw another cord of love around me, Lord. I don't want to be found struggling on this altar. I want to yield myself a willing sacrifice. I don't want the devil to have any part of this. Put your brand on me, Lord. I'm going to put my ear against the, you remember that in the Old Testament where if a slave wanted to stay there, he said, put a hole right here. That was a mark. Lord, put your mark on me. When the devil looks at me and tries, I want him to know who I am. Who I'm yours. Keep throwing thy own name, Lord. I want the world to know, and I want the devil to know, and I want to tell myself that I'm the Lord's today. And I want you to know, Lord, that I love you more than anything else. Pray for me. I want to serve him.